Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Heritage Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast and listen this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchrist@heritage.com. You'll find all these radio programs, the MP3 files. We have a host of Bible videos on different subjects that you can download and look at, and there's a host of other Bible-related study material that can aid you and help you in your study of God's Word. You can also find out some more information about us on our website, and we encourage you to go out there and take a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll begin the regular meeting times of our services at the Heritage Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to come and visit us. We want nothing from you. We want to show your need for God in your life to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit. Last week, we began a study on the subject of abortion, a nation stained with blood. And we gave the statistics and we discussed some of the statistics concerning, and we got to the legal aspect of it, looking at Roe versus Wade that became law in 1973. Today, we want to begin by talking about the methods that are used in abortion. The first method is called a suction aspiration. This is the most common abortion method during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. The mother receives general or local anesthetic. Her cervix is quickly dilated. A suction curic, or hollow tube with a knife edge tip, is inserted into the womb. This instrument is connected to a vacuum machine by a transparent tube. The vacuum suction is 29 times more powerful than a household vacuum cleaner, and it tears the fetus and the placenta into small pieces, which are then sucked through the tube into a bottle and discarded. Dilation is called a DNC. This method is similar to the suction method with the added insertion of a hook-shaped knife, a curic, which cuts the baby into pieces. The pieces are scraped out through the cervix and discarded. Note, this abortion method should not be confused with therapeutic DNC done for reasons other than pregnancy. And then you have the DNE. This method is used up to 18 weeks instead of a loop-shaped knife used in the other abortions. A pair of forceps are used, inserted into the womb and a grasp part of the fetus. The teeth of the forceps twist and tear the bones of the unborn child. This process is repeated until the fetus is totally dismembered and removed. Usually, the spine must be snapped and the skull crushed in order to remove them. And then you have salt poisoning, or saline suggestion. This is used after 16 weeks, 4 months. When enough fluid has accumulated, a long needle injects a strong salt solution through the mother's abdomen into the baby's sac. The baby swallows this fluid and is poisoned by it. It also acts as a coercive burning off the outer layer of skin. It normally takes somewhat over an hour for the baby to die from this. Within 24 hours, labor will usually set in and the mother will give birth to a dead and dying baby. There have been many cases of these babies being born alive. They're usually left unattended to die. However, a few have survived and are later adopted. And then you have chemical abortions. This form of abortion uses chemicals developed by Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company. These chemicals cause the uterus to contract intensely, pushing out the developing baby. The contractions are more violent than normal and natural contractions, so the unborn baby is frequently killed by them. Some have been decapitated. Many, however, also have been born alive. The hysterectomy or cesarean section, usually mainly in the last 3 months of pregnancy. The womb is entered by a surgery through the wall of the abdomen. This technique is similar to cesarean delivery, except that the umbilical cord is usually cut while the baby is still in the womb, thus cutting off his oxygen supply and causing him to suffocate. Sometimes the baby is removed alive and simply left in a corner to die of neglect or exposure. 5 steps to a partial birth abortion. Guided by ultrasound, the abortionist grabs the baby's legs with forceps. The baby's legs are pulled into the birth canal. The abortionist delivers the baby's entire body except for the head. The abortionist jams scissors into the baby's skull. The scissors are then opened to enlarge the skull. The scissors are removed and a suction catheter is inserted. The child's brains are sucked out, causing the skull to collapse. The dead baby is then removed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that is graphic, and I know it's hard to listen to, but it is fact. It is fact. Let me underline. This is fact. This is the part that the abortionists never tell you about. This is the part that is never described, that is avoided, because this is what actually takes place. It's not just removing something surgically. This takes place. It's painful. It's heinous. And it's gruesome. And we need to understand, if we're going to have a real meaningful discussion about the sin of this kind of behavior, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to know that this is a terrible, terrible sin. And it is murder. It is the innocent taking and terminating a life for no more than being a nuisance that the mother no longer wants to be responsible for. We need to call this what it is. The next thing we need to look at is who is having abortions. Well, from the ages 15 to 19, and these are from numbers from 1995, so they have greatly increased, but 146,000 in a year are of ages 15 to 19. That's 19%. 20 to 24 are 245,000, which is 32% during a year. And 25 to 29 is 170,000, 22%. 30 to 34 are 107,000, which is 14%. And between 35 and 39, there is 61,000, which would be 8%. And then over 40 is 18,000, 2.4%. Now, also, who is having them broken down by race? White abortions are 57% of all abortions, almost 350,000. Black are 205,000, 33.9%, and the others are 32,000, and it's 5.3. And then those that are unknown and do not we don't have any records, are 17,000, 2.9. Now, also on who's having them, the marital status. 65% are never married, 18% are married, and 9% are divorced. Religious affiliation, 37.4% of all abortions in a year are by those of Protestant faith. Catholics are 31%. Jewish are 1.3%. Have no religious conviction, 23.7%. And evangelicals are 18%. What is the income status? Less than $15,000 a year? That's 28.7%. 15 to 30,000, 19.5%. 30 to 60,000, 38%. Over 60,000, 13%. Reasons, high risk, 6%. Social, 93%. Rape or incest, 1%. Let me read those numbers again. Health reasons, 6%. Social, 93%. Rape or incest, 1%. That means 93% of all abortions are done for social reasons. Not for health risk, not for rape or incest, but for social reasons. Having a baby, who is having them? 81%, let me read this number. 81% of all abortions are followed because of fornication. Having a baby could change her life, 16%. cannot afford a baby now, 21%. Relationship problems and single parenthood, 12%. Not ready for responsibility, 21%. To keep sexually activity secret, 1%. Not mature enough, 11%. Doesn't want more children, 8%. Husband or partner wants it, 1%. Fetus has possible health problems, 3%. Parents want it, 1%. Victim of rape or incest, 1%. Others are 3%. Notice the two leading indicators are the baby cannot be afforded now and they're not ready for the responsibility. Shouldn't that have been thought of before they did illicit sexual activity that led to the need to have an abortion? Shouldn't that have been something they considered before they had the activity, understanding that it was a possibility that it could result in a pregnancy, and then they would have the matter to deal with the child? But notice that 42% are because they're an intrusion into their life. 42% of all abortions are done because it's an intrusion into the life that the person wants to live. Who made the decision that put them in a predicament where they were found with child? Two people acted irrationally, selfishly, and a child was conceived, and because of their selfishness, because of their inconsideration, the child should be put to death. 42% believe that that is the right course to pursue. Ladies and gentlemen, this narrative that the abortionists paint, that it is something that's done because of the risk to the mother and because of rape or incest, we need to understand the statistics show that it is less than 5%. Less than 5% of all abortions are done for health reasons of the mother or the child or because of rape or incest. 95% of divorces occur, abortions occur, because of inconvenience. Because of an inconvenience. Having a child inconveniences them. But they should have thought of that. What about the responsibility? And one of the things that has led to this is the promiscuity and how we look at sexual activity today. Fornication and adultery. And such behavior is acceptable behavior. And it leads to illicit sexual behavior. And it leads to many, many out-of-wedlock pregnancies. And many of them, they want the pleasure. They want to be able to do what they want. But they don't want to be inconvenienced by a child. And so what do we allow? We allow them to remove the inconvenience by killing the child. And now it is legal to abort them. Because they are an inconvenience. Ladies and gentlemen, such is heinous. Such attitudes show a total disregard for human life. It shows a total disregard for a human being. And it has done nothing but selfishness in order to not be inconvenienced. Ladies and gentlemen, abortion is murder. And we have our hands stained with so much blood. Remember the statistic, over 50 million abortions since 1973.